Two different backgrounds. One, a successful businessman.
In this business, you know, you've got to be optimistic. You know, you take it one day at a time.
The other, a popular former Lexington police chief.
It's for a good cause, and that's our community. And if we can do anything to make our community better, we're certainly going to do that.
Anthony Beatty, challenging current Lexington Mayor Jim Gray's bid for a second term in office. Tonight, you'll hear from both candidates as they answer questions about two different visions for the future of Lexington and why they are the better person to lead more than 300,000 people living in Fayette County. From the historic campus of Transylvania University, you are watching the 2014 Lexington Mayoral Debate.
Members of the community have converged on the campus of historic Transylvania University tonight for the Lexington Mayoral Debate. A very good evening to you. I'm Nancy Cox. The audience here and you at home, I'm sure, are anxious to hear the two men square off in a debate for Lexington Mayor, incumbent Mayor Jim Gray, and his challenger, former Lexington Police Chief Anthony Beatty. Tonight, the men will answer a variety of questions submitted by the student body here at Transylvania University, as well as members of the Lexington Forum. Before we get started, though, tonight, a few words of welcome from the president of Transy, Dr. Seamus Carey. Dr. Carey became the 26th president of this historic liberal arts institution back in July. Dr. Carey.
Good evening and welcome to Transylvania University. We are delighted to host a debate between Mayor Jim Gray and former Lexington Police Chief Anthony Beatty. Hosting this debate on campus demonstrates to our students and to the wider community the importance of engaging in civic public discourse relating to the issues that we face as a city and the importance of participating in the democratic process. Transylvania University, given its rich liberal arts history, its history of educating exceptional public servants, and its commitment to community engagement, seems like an ideal setting to have such a conversation. We hope you leave here tonight this evening better informed and eager to exercise your voting privileges on November the 4th. Thank you for coming.
And thank you, Dr. Carey. Both Mayor Gray and Mr. Beatty are getting ready to express their views on the future of Lexington. And guiding them tonight in the debate is moderator Tom Martin. Mr. Martin is sort of a jack of all trades in the communications business. He is a Lexington Herald leader and WEKU business columnist. He's also a member of the Lexington Forum and serves on the Transylvania University's communications staff. Tom joins us now to go over the rules and get things underway.
Thank you very much, Nancy. And we would like to bring to the stage of Carrick Theater here on the campus of Transylvania University in downtown Lexington, Lexington Mayor Jim Gray and his electoral challenger, former Lexington Police Chief Anthony Beatty. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, gentlemen. Here is our format for the evening. Our questions for you have been submitted by Transylvania students and members of the Lexington Forum. And where similar, we have distilled those questions into a joint question. Otherwise, we'll alternate between Transy and Forum questions. The candidates are invited to offer introductory statements, each limited to 3 minutes. Questions will then be presented by your moderator. The order of the candidates' responses to each question was determined by the flip of a coin prior to the debate. Candidates are limited to 2 minutes for answers and 1 minute for rebuttals. The order of opening and closing statements also was determined by that same coin toss. Our timekeeper for tonight's debate is Lexington Forum Executive Director Don Brockman. Audience members are required to refrain from applause or vocalizing support or opposition. Of course, time taken up with audience reaction is time taken from the debate participants and their views. And please, again, silence cell phones or any other device that might make a sound. The question and answer rounds will conclude at approximately 7:40 p.m. for a 2 minute station break. The candidates will then offer closing statements, each limited to 5 minutes. We begin our opening statements, and we'll do that according to our coin toss. with Mayor Jim Gray.
Tom, thank you. Nancy, Lexington Forum, Dr. Carey, thank you. And Transylvania. Since 1780, historic anchor to our extraordinary university city. And thanks to all of you for being here tonight, and I know there are a number of Transylvania students. Thanks to you as well. Let me start with three words: getting things done. These three words have carried me through the first 4 years, and they will carry me through the next 4 years. Let me say that again: getting things done. It's exactly what I've done as your mayor. Getting things done means identifying core values of public safety, quality of life, foundation blocks. And from there, we focused on three major goals. Number one, creating jobs. Number two, running government efficiently. And number three, building a great American city. So let's reflect on those. First, creating jobs. 150,000 people are employed today in Lexington, more than ever in its history. 9,000 new jobs created in the last 4 years. $1 million put into a jobs fund to help grow jobs in Lexington. Second, running government efficiently. Right out of the gate, we moved the mayor's office from the top floor of City Hall to the first floor, right out in the open, accessible, approachable. We faced a budget deficit of over $30 million, a $20 million hole in our health insurance plan, a $300 million unfunded pension liability. We made tough but fair decisions. Our reforms have already saved the taxpayers $60 million, and those savings compound year after year. Those savings have allowed us to invest in the third goal, building a great American city. Investments in our core values, quality of life, and public safety. Investments of over $500 million in public safety, more than any 3-year period in our history. $5 million for new police and fire vehicles. 160 new police officers, 111 new firefighters. Now, despite Anthony's repeated claims that public safety, the council and I have not cut a dollar from public safety. In fact, we have added $25 million over the last 3 years. We're building a new senior citizen center, replacing a facility that is way outdated and hazardous to get to. We've supported our partner agencies that provide social services to those most in need more now than ever. And we are improving our parks and widening roads. I often say that the best indicator of future performance is past performance. So I'm looking forward to tonight, to this debate, and getting things done.
Chief Anthony Beatty, your opening statement, please.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Nancy, and certainly thanks to the Lexington Forum and Transylvania University, Dr. Seamus, for hosting this very important event for our community. Also, thanks to WLEX TV and WEKU Radio. Thanks to the students, faculty, and staff at this historic Transylvania University for taking time out of your schedules, as well as our television and radio audience for being here with us tonight to hear this important discussion about the future of Lexington's community. Let me open by first inviting you to go to my website, www.anthonybeattyformayor.com, to become fully informed about my platform issues, my position on public safety, on the Rupp Arena project, and how I differ from Jim Gray. For the past 9 months, I've visited with citizens, and my message of public safety, public service, and fiscal responsibility has resonated all across Lexington. I continue to stand firm on these issues. I was born and raised in Lexington. 9 generations of the Beatty family have lived in this city. My family tree has touched every segment of our community, from the rural farmlands to the urban core, from poverty to prosperity. I have proven service leadership and an extraordinary track record with 35 years in city government and 7 years as an administrator with the University of Kentucky. As police chief, I led Lexington to becoming one of the safest cities in the United States. My proven leadership reflects strong people skills, articulating issues that everyone can grasp, collaboration, transparency, inclusive problem solving and decision making, and a responsible and resourceful approach to spending taxpayer dollars. My opponent prides himself on being a builder of buildings and construction projects. I'm proud to be a builder of communities and neighborhoods. Public safety, public service, and fiscal stewardship exist to improve our communities, and communities and neighborhoods exist to enrich our lives. I am a builder of communities, neighborhoods, and relationships. I ask for your vote on November the 4th. Your vote will demonstrate your confidence in my ability to lead Lexington in character, integrity, with knowledge, experience, dedication, and pride. Vote Anthony Beatty for mayor of all of Lexington. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your opening statements. We're going to move right into the question phase, and according to our coin toss, we will begin with Mayor Jim Gray. Our first question is a joint question. It's a combination of similar questions offered by both the Forum and Transylvania. And it is, what is the single biggest issue facing the community, and how specifically will you address it?
Tom, 4 years ago, I identified creating jobs as the number one challenge, our number one opportunity. It was that 4 years ago, it is today. And let's think about it. Jobs give purpose and meaning in life. Now, of course, there are many challenges, but today we have 150,000 people employed in Lexington, 9,000 new jobs created in the last 4 years. But there are still challenges. This is why, together with the City Council, we invested $1 million in a jobs fund designed specifically to create and grow jobs. This is why Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher and I, for the first time ever in our city's, in our state's history, the two cities are working together in a regional cooperation in a project called BEAM. That's the acronym for Bluegrass Economic Advancement Movement. So as our city addresses job creation, we then, in the old saying, the old aphorism, all boats rise in a rising tide. When we create jobs and opportunity, when we create a level of prosperity that all can participate in, then we truly can describe ourselves as a great American city.
Chief Beatty, 2 minutes.
I firmly believe that the opportunity to develop economically our community is a first task for any mayor. And certainly doing that would require collaboration and working with all the parties and partners in our community who can make that happen. And I envision the mayor, myself as mayor, putting together a think tank of folks who can help us move toward creating even more jobs and better jobs for our citizens. I envision a think tank who would examine the aspects of Lexington that are critical. First, examining what are the most thriving sectors of our community in terms of job development and opportunity. And if we look at Lexington, we can see certainly that healthcare and the equine industry are two of those driving forces for our community. So then how do we partner better with the healthcare industry, the equine industry, to ensure that we can even create more and better jobs for our citizens? Mayor Gray says that we've created 9,000 new jobs, and if we look at that fact, I know for a fact that the University of Kentucky created about 5,000 new jobs in the 7 years that I've been there, and the vast majority of those are in the healthcare sector, and not just at the University of Kentucky, but certainly at Central Baptist and St. Joe and the other healthcare. So healthcare, those are the areas we focus energy in, and then developing better opportunities in the equine industry. The third thing would be to embrace and understand the changing demographics of our city, of Lexington and our region, in terms of the folks who will be seeking the job opportunities that we want to create. So we've got to include families with children. We've got to include upward and young professionals. The age of 18 to 35 is critical. We've got to think about the retiring baby boomers and what jobs will address for all the demographic needs of as our community changes. And so matching the jobs with the needs of the citizens are going to be critical, And I envision the mayor's office as a person or the agency that would actually bring all those folks together to make that happen. Thank you. Thank you.
We'd like to offer each of you 1 minute for rebuttal, if you care to take the time. Mayor Gray.
Well, I would just supplement and add to what Anthony said in terms of the University of Kentucky's strength and presence in Lexington. It's enormous and it's significant. And that's why we describe Lexington in many respects as a university city. And it's different than just a college town. There are other university cities around the country. We've identified actually six, including Ann Arbor and Madison, including Raleigh-Durham. But Lexington is unique because Lexington has more than just the University of Kentucky. We are sitting right here in an example of that. The first college established west of the Allegheny Mountains, Transylvania. Bluegrass Community and Technical College, which is growing today and providing resources that our population, our people need, the kind of jobs training that they need. So there's plenty of opportunity today.
Chief Petty, 1 minute.
And I concur that the University of Kentucky is critical, as are many other public education institutions in our community. But I understand and know also that the University of Kentucky is a $3 billion a year entity, and the city of Lexington derives its revenue from payroll taxes. Those 17,000 employees are significant. So it's very critical that we have a positive working relationship with the entity of the University of Kentucky.
Okay, we'll move on to our second question, which was posed by students from Transylvania. And we will begin this round with Chief Beatty. In your opinion, is Lexington a college student-friendly city? If so, why do you think this? If not, what will you do to make Lexington friendlier to college-aged students?
Yes, I do feel that Lexington is a college student-friendly city. And I say that because we have several institutions of higher education, in the Lexington community. And it attracts students and faculty and staff and folks from all over the world, not just from Kentucky. And so it's known historically as a place to come for great educations. We stand today at one of those historic institutions that has a long tradition and history of providing educational opportunities. And so, yes, it is a college-friendly city. It's one of the places that colleges come together, students work together across the campuses, and certainly very exciting and inviting for them with the opportunities that we create. And so I like to think about how the colleges and universities cooperate, collaborate, and work together with each other, and how the student bodies, the faculty, and staffs work together to do the same, particularly when we're talking about research opportunities, the opportunity to develop new techniques, new equipment, new devices, and then how the colleges share. There's excitement and entertainment for the students in this area, and they certainly take advantage of that as they move around our community. So yes, Lexington is a college-friendly city.
I agree.
Well, a great example, I think, of how friendly Lexington is to students is that Transylvania is actually marketing Lexington and considers it to be a competitive advantage in recruiting its students. And what is that? Well, as a liberal arts college and university, it sees that its presence, its location, right in the Lexington's downtown in its urban core is a strategic advantage. And I think that that also translates to the University of Kentucky as well. As the university has grown, it has reached out to the city, especially to the urban core, the traditional downtown, and its borders have become much more porous. So speaking then to the city in a more inviting and welcoming way, and the city to the university, the city to Transylvania, the city to Bluegrass Technical and Community College. So all of this, all of these together represent opportunities for students that I know that in my lifetime I hear, I've seen and observed that Lexington has changed enormously. And I hear others say that. Just this weekend, the WHAS anchor, Tom, you may know, Doug Prophet, he said he went to school here in Lexington and He comes back today and he says, it's just a different place. And he says, you know, it's a place that reminds him of Greenville, South Carolina. It reminds him of Charleston. So the opportunities that we have here are really, really significant. And we really are at a pivotal point in time as well, a tipping point, if you will, where the city can just continue to prosper. And yet we have challenges, blessings as well as burdens.
Chief Beatty, would you like to offer a one-minute rebuttal?
Not a rebuttal, but I would challenge the students coming to the Lexington area from to any of the educational institutions to find a community or a city that's better to come to, more welcoming, and certainly creates the opportunities for them to be in a better place. I think Lexington is a great city for them.
Very great. 1 minute.
I think we've perhaps said it all. I think what Anthony is also suggesting is it led me to think of how engaged many of the students are, both Transylvania, University of Kentucky, you know, and these are changes, how engaged they are today in the city, with the city, in community activities, pro bono, charitable initiatives. And this is teaching them, I think we both would agree, teaching them at a young age how to be involved, how to be active and engaged and contributing citizens.
Okay, our next question was posed by the Lexington Forum. Mayor Gray, you will go first. Water is becoming an increasingly valuable commodity, one which we here in Kentucky have in abundance. Would you ever be in favor of an effort to reconsider public ownership of Lexington's municipal water supply?
Well, I wouldn't speculate on that today because the voters decided that in 2006. But there is time today for us to express our voice. Today we are negotiating, we will be negotiating in the next year, a new renewed franchise agreement, or a new franchise agreement, either with Kentucky American Water or with a competitor company. Now, from my point of view, I always think of my history in a family business. And so I know that the employees of Kentucky American Water are good people and they work and they help us every day in supplying our water. But Kentucky American is a corporation that's based far outside of Lexington. And they're the only supplier of water. I disagreed with the decision several years ago to build a new $20 million gallon a day peaking plant, which has yet to be utilized at its capacity. We were very disappointed when Kentucky American made a decision to discontinue the billing services which it had provided for many years for the city in the city's collection of its utilities, sewer and other utilities. What that has done is cost the city millions of dollars. So, I also believe that the city should not be paying, our ratepayers should not pay for the expansion of Kentucky American into other cities in the region. Now, this is the same theme that we will be employing with negotiations with Time Warner on the cable. We must be at the table representing our citizens.
Chief Beatty, same question.
Yes, I certainly know and understand, like all of our citizens, that the importance of a utility like water in terms of what it means for our community, and it's certainly one of those things that sustains our lives. And so it's a must-have and a must-do, so we have to have the water as it exists. And as mayor, I see not the possibility of looking at going after the water company as a private entity that it is, for the government to operate. And I say that because, number one, the water company provides services at the level we would want and expect as citizens. Probably, and not probably, but we could work better with them in terms of the rates that are set by the PSC for the services that we pay for. But at the same time, I have to look at what government, that being the city government, has on its plate now in terms of what it needs to do, in terms of all the infrastructure needs, all the services we need to provide, and all the projects and things that we have on the table. And in order to manage all of those, I know it's very complex and we have to be able to juggle many balls at one time. But at the same time, this is one of those utilities that's functioning. It's doing what it's supposed, what it should do. And I shudder to think that the government should take on another entity like the water company to try to manage that when we've got so many other needs like public safety and other infrastructure needs.
Mayor Gray, would you like to offer a rebuttal?
I'm good.
Okay, all right, great, we'll save a little time. Next up is a Transylvania student question, and it is, and we'll begin with Chief Beatty. Students notice that Lexington seems to be divided in terms of socioeconomic status in certain areas of the city, especially on the north side of town. What are your plans to bridge divides in order to create a more unified city?
Yes, and the students are right in the assessment. As I said, I grew up here in the city of Lexington, and we've seen many, many changes through the years. But there is a gap in terms of, if you want to use the term, the haves and the have-nots, in terms of what's available in Lexington to certain parts of our city. And certainly I see a sense, Lexington is a very compassionate city, and so we should not allow the situations to exist whereby some segments of our community have a lot less to live and operate with and manage than do other parts of our city. Lexington has a 5.3% unemployment rate, but there are pockets in our city of, in the city of Lexington that are better than, that have better than 20% unemployment rates. And so our sense of compassion, it is our duty to make sure that everyone has opportunity. And so that means from poverty to prosperity, we need to look at how do we give opportunity to everyone in that equation. And so that means creating educational opportunities, creating jobs, wages that are fair and equitable, creating housing opportunities, providing health care and services, food access, and all the things that we need to sustain our lives are very, very important. And deep in that is the sense of economic development within those communities that don't have the opportunity, the means, the support, the wealth to make that happen. How do we assist them to make that happen in those communities? And San Francisco had an opportunity to create just that, an opportunity for minority businesses, for the small businesses to contribute and be a part of the community so that everyone in that community had an opportunity to become a productive citizen and have a way to support themselves. So let's, if Transy students saw that, I appreciate that. I would like to partner with them to talk about then with their best knowledge how we move the needle forward for those folks in our community who are not experiencing the same prosperity as other parts of our city. Thank you.
Mayor Gray?
Well, Tom, in the last 10 years, the sands have really shifted in the north side of Lexington and in a very positive way. You look on the west end and you see progress with the building of the new campus for Bluegrass Community and Technical College. And you see also the amazing transformation, a really organic transformation of Jefferson Street. Small businesses. You move into the center of the north side, North Limestone, and an enormous transformation has also occurred there, where a little coffee shop called North Limestone Coffee and Donut has grown and today is putting a new coffee shop in the suburbs in Stonewall. These are young entrepreneurs. And then on the east end, where the Charles Williams Center has been retained by the city, where the community is involved, where Equestrian View, new homes, and don't forget roads. Don't forget paving, because I can tell you that those neighbors, that in the neighborhoods in the north side of town really appreciate it. I had a friend who was riding with me along North Limestone not long ago. And she said she grew up in Lexington. And she, as we were passing Loudoun on North Lime, she said, you know, when I was growing up, I'd ride through here with my grandmother. And my grandmother would say, don't come here. This is just not the place to be. And she said, you know, it's changed, and it's changed in a good way. Now, there's always challenges. There's always issues of gentrification. And these are, fortunately, concerns of students that we should always remember.
Rebuttal?
Yeah, I'm glad Jim mentioned gentrification, because growing up in the inner city of Lexington and the Bluegrass Aspendale housing projects, having family along the Jefferson Street corridor, a paper route in the North Lambstone, North Broadway area, I remember what those neighborhoods were and who lived there. And so when we talk about our communities moving, we need and developing, we need to think about everybody moving at the same time. And so the idea of developing a North Lambstone and a Jefferson Street, those areas are great and it should happen. But at the same time, we have to think about the folks who are there, whose families have been there, who worked and had their blood and sweat in the small home that they had. But when the changes happen to those communities, they're fully displaced and they can't come back to those communities. So how do we make sure that the folks who are there, who established the neighborhood, still have an opportunity to remain there, even after all the progress happens?
Okay, very great. Do you have a rebuttal?
The rebuttal opportunity.
Yes,
well,
I'm sorry.
I would just layer on what Anthony said, and I, of course, anyone who grew up in Lexington had some would say if they're a great blessing, and I know that you view it that way. When Charlotte Court, Bluegrass Aspendale were redeveloped, the Lexington Housing Authority, of course, as you know, made a vigorous effort in providing housing for those who were displaced. And today, new homes in both the West End and the East End have really added a vitality to both areas of town that when I visit with those neighbors living in those new units, they say, you know, we really like what we've got today. So the real energy is the diversity that exists today on the north side and the reaching out.
Okay, I believe we have time for one more full round of a question, and this one was brought to us by the Lexington Forum. The question is, and the first answer will come from Mayor Gray, how should the mayor's office prioritize the allocation of city resources among nonprofit service organizations expressing need for support?
Well, Tom, Lexington, if you've lived here for a while, you know and you discover that Lexington is a caring and giving community, a community that shares. I routinely will find people who have moved to town, and I routinely ask them, well, what brought you to Lexington? And those who have moved here intentionally and deliberately will often say, and I'm not making this up, they will often say, well, the people here are so friendly and welcoming. Now, how does that translate? Well, that translates into giving charitably in many ways. The city itself, the city's government, is actually the largest, think of it this way, the largest foundation in the city. The city's charitable giving just this year has increased by almost 60%. Our funding has increased $1.3 million, in fact, since 2011, and nearly doubled in the number of organizations who are provided funding by the city. What we do is work closely with the council and with many citizens across our community to identify needs and then work with those agencies to meet those needs. Now, we're never going to be able to do all that we're asked for, all that's needed. But when that genuine effort is made, when the resources, extraordinary often resources are provided, then I think we can all feel better about our city, leadership, and those who are on the ground, boots on the ground, providing their work effort every day.
Chief Beatty, your thoughts on this question.
Yeah, the nonprofits that we're speaking of certainly provide some of the services I mentioned in an earlier response to the citizens, and they provide a great service. And certainly they require that our call on the government, that being the local government, for some sustenance and support. And that has to happen, and I know there are ways that happens, and there are formulas for how we help the city support, the city helps to support nonprofits. And that must continue to the extent that the city should do it. I like to think we take it to the next level and we look at it in another perspective. How then does the city, the government, the leadership encourage the nonprofits to stand on their own? How do we encourage and move them toward being a self-sufficient entity? How do we encourage them and move them along toward being self-sustaining? And on the University of Kentucky campus, I hear a lot this idea of being a tub on its own bottom. So how does the government encourage those entities to stand alone and work on their own without government support? And eventually, we'd hope that we would move them toward being fully self-sufficient.
Mayor Gray, would you like to offer a rebuttal?
I think we're both good.
Okay. We actually have a little bit of time. I'll wing it.
All right. Now, we know that's not unusual.
It's not unusual, and it can be dangerous. Let's talk.
We'll take that risk, right?
Okay. Let's talk center point. How will I frame this question? We have, in the midst of our city, a project that, by appearances, seems stalled. It is moving forward slowly but surely, but it's smack dab in the middle of Lexington. What is the mayor's office's role in ensuring that something is done in that block? Let's see. We began with you, Mayor Gray, last time, so we'll begin with Chief Beatty.
What is the mayor's office role in seeing that the project is completed?
Yes.
Okay. Let me start by saying that View Center Point is one of the more significant projects for our community, and it's been long stalled, I believe, since about 2008, and certainly it has left a hole in our community, and looks like there is some progress moving forward. I see the mayor's office and the role of the mayor's office with projects like Center Point or any project that we're doing in our community, and the role of the mayor's office should be to stay within the confines of what the dictates of the office are, and certainly allow the zoning, the planning, the folks who do the developing to move along with the guidance within which the law allows that to happen. So I'm saying you can be involved, I think, but not to the point that the mayor's office supersedes the authority in terms of helping the developers decide exactly what should happen. And so when we look at a project like Center Point that has they're going to be a significant economic driver for our community, we've stalled for since 2008. And so we have the opportunity to create jobs, other kinds of things that will happen with a project like that. And I firmly believe that the government should be in the business of providing services to the citizens and allow entrepreneurs and business folks to do their duty and commit to the community to get projects like Center Point and others completed, get the jobs created, and provide the services that the citizens would need in a project like that. So promoting good design and following the zoning and planning regulations is basically what the mayor's office should allow Center Point, our project like that, to do.
Mayor Gray?
Well, I come from an entrepreneurial background, so I am always encouraging of entrepreneurial efforts. And Center Point is an ambitious and aspirational, in fact, undertaking. 6 years ago, or 7 years ago, when the project was first initiated, I was vigorously working to protect the city's interests because, Tom, as you said, you know, this project is in a premier location. It's perhaps right where our city was settled, in this very center of the city. So it has enormous potential to bring new businesses and jobs to Lexington. So it's important to both support the project, those who are developing the project, and to protect the interests of the city and its citizens. That's why I have, as the course of the project has moved along, I have consistently asked for studies, confirmation of funding, and confirmation of the plan to ensure that the developers were committed to the project. We, in the covenants, in the contracts, we have required that if, in the case the project does not mature, that the space will be restored to a green space. Now, this model also, though, translates into other projects which we are managing on behalf of the city, and encouraging developers. I use as an example the Pennington Place, the former Pennington Place apartments out on Richmond Road. Many in the room may know that or remember it. Well, they were decaying and actually poisoning the neighborhood, almost 600 apartments. Today, they have been reinvigorated, and today, new apartments, which are adding to the vitality of the neighborhood.
Time. I'm going to ask you to hold your rebuttals to 30 seconds. We're coming up on time, and yours would be first, Chief Beatty.
Okay. I think that the government should be supportive of those types of entrepreneurial projects. And I have to equate or look at CenterPoint, as Jim said a minute ago, many other projects seem to have moved along much, much quicker that may not have as significant an impact as CenterPoint would. So I would just want to make sure that we treat all developers equitably and fairly as the process moves along and we're developing projects in a city like Lexington downtown.
Mayor Gray?
Good.
Okay, then we would like to thank you, Mayor Gray, Chief Beatty. We will take a break in just a moment. We'll have, after that, closing statements from the candidates at this 2014 Lexington Forum Transylvania University debate. Thank you.
Two different backgrounds. One, a successful businessman.
In this business, you know, you've got to be optimistic. You know, you take it one day at a time.
The other, a popular former Lexington police chief.
It's for a good cause, and that's our community. And if we can do anything to make our community better, we're certainly going to do that.
Anthony Beatty, challenging current Lexington Mayor Jim Gray's bid for a second term in office. Tonight, you'll hear from both candidates as they answer questions about two different visions for the future of Lexington and why they are the better person to lead more than 300,000 people living in Fayette County. From the historic campus of Transylvania University, you are watching the 2014 Lexington Mayoral Debate.
And welcome back to the campus of Transylvania University. Tonight, we've heard from both Jim Gray and Anthony Beatty. We've heard their answers to questions submitted by students here at Transylvania and the Lexington Forum about their visions for the future of Lexington, essentially in many ways your future. And now it's time for their closing statements. And for that, we go back to moderator Tom Martin.
Well, thank you, Mayor Gray, and thank you, Chief Beatty, for sharing your views about public policy and city leadership in response to the questions posed this evening. And I'd like to now invite each of you, beginning according to our coin toss with Chief Anthony Beatty, to offer your closing statements in 5 minutes or less.
All right, thanks again, Tom, and thanks to Nancy. Thanks to the Lexington Forum and Transylvania University, Dr. Carey, to the faculty, staff, and students assembled here, and certainly to the viewers and the radio audience tuned in for this important discussion about Lexington's future. Lexington, it's time for proven and new leadership. As I close, I want to mention a note I just received from a grandmother, just received it today, about her 8-year-old granddaughter who had a project in school and she had to write an essay, and the essay she entitled hers, "I Want a Safe City." And one of the questions that was asked during recent mayoral forums was, when you think about the job or your role as mayor, what keeps you at it up at night? And without hesitation, I was able to say public safety and crime. And not just crime, but the frequency of crime, the intensity of the crime, the boldness of the crime, and the loss of human lives in our city. This should not be the response for Lexington, Kentucky. Earlier this week in mayoral forums, I asked the voters of Lexington to answer three questions before they vote on November 4th. Number one, as Jim Gray made mistakes and bad decisions on public safety? Number two, has Jim Gray made mistakes and bad decisions on the Rupp Arena project? And number three, has Jim Gray and these bad mistakes adversely impacted the city of Lexington and its relationships? I ask that because, as I said 4 years ago, he talked about his fresh start plan for Lexington, and I quote, "We all make mistakes, but when a mayor keeps making mistakes and bad decisions, it's time for new leadership." Gray has made big mistakes and bad decisions in government leadership. We have escalating crime, tarnished UK relationships, a legislative embarrassment, millions of dollars spent on consultant fees, and a lack of genuine concern for the sustainable and vibrant blend of our urban, suburban, and rural neighborhoods and communities. But today I want to ask you to focus on six additional questions. And I ask that you focus those questions on me, Anthony Beatty. Question one, do you want a mayor who's experienced, knowledgeable, and willing to address proactive public safety? Question two, do you want a mayor who ensures services and infrastructure needs are prioritized as they impact the people of Lexington in an effective and efficient way? Question three, do you want a mayor who pledges to spend your tax dollars with transparency, accountability, and responsibility? Question four, do you want a mayor who understands the importance of jobs and job-ready workers to sustain and grow all of Lexington? Question five, do you want a mayor who promotes fun and fantastic places and spaces? Question six, do you want a mayor who will connect and communicate with all of Lexington, north, south, east, west, central, urban, and rural? If your answer is yes to these questions, then I ask for your vote on November 4th. Jim Gray prides himself on being a builder of buildings and construction projects. Anthony Beatty is proud to be a builder of communities and neighborhoods. Public safety, public service, and fiscal stewardship exist to improve our communities and our neighborhoods. And communities and neighborhood exist to enrich our lives. I am a builder of communities, of neighborhoods, and relationships. I pledge my commitment to you as mayor, and together we can take Lexington to a place we all should go. Dr. Eunice Beatty, my wife, and our sons Tony and Embry, and their families, along with the entire Beatty campaign, have been energized and excited from the first day of the campaign journey. And we all know that with the support of Lexington residents, its best is yet to come. I ask for your vote on November the 4th. Thank you.
Mayor Jim Gray, your closing statement, please.
Thanks, Tom. And thanks to everyone, all of you, for being here tonight and joining us and our viewing audience as well. You know, the opening video and the video that we just saw, which generously introduced both Anthony and me, it said that the purpose of tonight's event, tonight's debate, was to illustrate the different visions for Lexington of the candidates. Now, I believe that leadership is all about promoting our city and not tearing it down. Now, Anthony says we need three things. He says we need superior fiscal stewardship. Well, we have done that. Over $60 million in savings in just health insurance and pension reform, consistent balanced budgets, 3 years of surpluses. Financially, Lexington is healthier today than we have ever been. Anthony says that we need enhanced public services. Well, we've done that as well. Moving the mayor's office to the first floor right out in the open to demonstrate approachability and accessibility. Saving millions and protecting our environment through the consent decree. Improving roads from Clay's Mill to Winchester to Leestown. Anthony also says that we need proactive public safety. We've done that. Investing more in 3.5 years than ever before, more than $500 million. When we saw a neighborhood impacted from the Art Bar in Chevy Chase, we worked to fix the problem quickly. Even Chief Beatty has said, you cannot eliminate all crime. But we are getting things done, and we have been able to do all this without raising taxes. Public safety is our top priority, and our budget proves it. But we have other critical priorities that we can't ignore. social services, job creation, neighborhoods, roads, parks, and trails. I'd ask Anthony, which of these services does he want to cut? Or which taxes does he want to raise? To build a police force the size of cities like Oakland and Sacramento, California, and others. Now, these are cities with larger populations and up to 10 times the violent crime of Lexington, and all with less than the 700 officers Anthony wants to hire. So despite Anthony's repeated claims that we have cut public safety, the council and I have actually increased public safety spending by $25 million in 3 years, more than ever before spent on public safety in the city's history. Now, how can we believe scare tactics like this when in 2005, then Chief Beatty said that, and I quote, "There is not a whole lot police can do to prevent some crimes." And in 2001, he said, "But nothing can completely prevent people from killing each other. Preventing crime and improving public safety is my top priority, and it is multidimensional. We must stabilize and improve our neighborhoods, continuously work on it. We must create jobs and create an environment where people want to live and work." But back in closing to where we are today, together we have accomplished a lot, and our city is on the move. We have avoided the bankruptcy path, and we are making investments throughout our city to make Lexington even better. I routinely say that even on a bad day, being mayor is a great job. And when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. So I would appreciate and ask for your support and your vote as we continue getting things done.
Mayor Jim Gray, Chief Anthony Beatty, thank you so much for an interesting and stimulating evening of debate on public policy. And we wish both of you the best of luck on November the 4th.
Thank you, sir.
I also would like to thank both candidates for agreeing to participate tonight, as well as Transylvania University and the Lexington Forum for hosting this event. LEX 18 is certainly proud to try to bring you all the information you need to make an informed decision at the polls in less than a month now on November 4th. And on November 4th, Election Day, be sure to count on LEX 18 for complete coverage of all the races in the Bluegrass. Thanks again to everyone here at Transylvania University tonight. Thanks to you for watching, and good night.